KTW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. One person was pulled alive from the rubble of the chocolate factory that was the scene of an explosion in Pennsylvania Friday night.
The discovery of life overnight of the overnight recovery efforts provides hope that others still may be found.
West Reading Police Chief Wayne Holbin did not provide an update on that person's condition, but he says two people are confirmed dead and five are still missing. He said earlier reports that five are confirmed dead were incorrect. Cause of the explosions under investigation. In western Mississippi, at least 23 people were killed by powerful tornadoes overnight, and state emergency officials say those numbers are expected to increase. There was widespread destruction in Sharkey County.
The house is gone. I guess it threw them through the wall or whatever. It's rough.
President Biden said the U.S. is not seeking conflict with Iran, but would defend Americans, confirming he ordered airstrikes on Iranian-backed militants in Syria in retaliation for a drone strike on a U.S. base that killed an American contractor. This is ABC News. The recent rain and snow in California has led state officials to lift some rules on water usage.
California has just experienced what may have been the wettest three-week period in history, by some measures wiping out the drought. Governor Gavin Newsom now lifting some emergency drought rules like those restricting watering grass, but water experts say groundwater vanished during years of drought and wells went dry. In that way, the drought is not over. The governor is saying,
are we out of the drought? Is the drought over in the state of California? And what I want to affirm your instinct that it should be, it feels like it is and continues to be complicated.
Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
Oscar-winning actress Gwyneth Paltrow testified in her own defense at a trial in Park City, Utah on Friday. She is being sued by a man who says he skied into her at a resort 8 years ago. She says the man skied into her. She's countersuing for $1. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Hey folks, keep her moving to Civic Media every Saturday and Sunday at noon for the Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens.
We've been out here all day. We've had five or six beers and only one fish.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. President Biden wants to raise taxes on Americans earning more than $400,000 a year. The rate would go from the current 3.8% to 5%. The new revenue would be used to shore up Medicare. Some of the biggest supporters of the bill are those who would get taxed the most. More from Eric Gladys.
Morris Pearl with the group Patriotic Millionaire says there's more than enough money to fund Medicare. He argues the wealthiest Americans, especially those living off of their investments, can and should be paying more.
We can ask the financially challenged people who need Medicare to sacrifice more by having less medical care, or we can ask the ultra-rich to sacrifice more by being a little bit less ultra-rich.
Biden's proposal would keep Medicare solvent for at least the next 25 years, according to estimates by the Medicare Office of the Chief Actuary. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has promised it will not advance in Congress. Critics say raising taxes would hurt the economy. They argue that people would spend less if their earnings drop. Pearl agrees that the economy depends on consumer spending and says working Americans who spend most of what they bring home should be allowed to keep more of their money.
The very rich people are not going to spend more money. They'll just become a little bit richer.
More than 65 million people across the U.S. depend on Medicare coverage, but the fund's trustees warn that cuts to benefits will be necessary by 2028 without increased revenues. Pearl notes that the nation's economy was strong under the Republican Eisenhower administration, when the wealthiest Americans paid tax rates up to 90% on their second, third, and fourth millions.
And there's no reason why people who make a lot of money now should be paying not the same tax rate as people who work for a living, but actually lower tax rates. We need to change the system.
This is Eric Galatis reporting.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
What is up, Wisconsin? Welcome to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. Man, oh man, are we on fire tonight? We have got one of the greatest shows we could possibly assemble, starting off right at the top of the hour. We're going to get right to it. We've got the founder of Hunter Nation, Keith Mark, joining us live, a man who has dedicated his life to making sure that those who utilize the outdoors understand the importance of being involved. Keith, welcome to the show.
Joel, thanks for having me. What a wonderful time to be a hunter. When spring pops, you know, I just came back from Florida, killed a great turkey, and then I had to take a trip up to the swamp in D.C., which I'm so glad to have my gator boots back on solid ground now.
Man, I understand that all the way. You know, you walk the walk that you talk, and that is impressive because at any given time in your life, you are advocating for hunters out there and the fundamental constitutional rights we have to go out into the field, into the woods, and put that food on our table. You know, I heard you the other day on the Nightly News. You were talking about how hunters out there make such a large portion of our population, but they don't always get involved. And one of the things you guys were talking about is how important it is for hunters out there and people who utilize the resources to become part of the process.
You know, 100%, Joel, and how tragic is that? There's roughly 16 million hunters in America, and 40 to 50% of them in your great state of Wisconsin don't vote, and a third of them aren't even registered to vote. When you think about that, you know, it's just so sad, really, but I get it. You know, it's right during the heart of hunting season most times. Of course, April 4th is other than turkeys. It's not in the heart of any hunting season. So there's really no excuse for our Wisconsin hunters in the election you guys have coming up. But, you know, hunters, by and large, Joel, they're self-reliant, and they really just worry about themselves. Well, the time for that type of mentality is long since passed, because while we were sitting here worrying about taking care of our families and being able to go to church and work and speak, the enemy was out there trying to take our rights from us, and we are just literally one election cycle away. And in Wisconsin there, you're literally one Supreme Court election away from 30 years of traditional values being promulgated in your great state and to be washed away in one election.
You know, that is a fantastic point. So I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind taking off your Hunter Nation hat for just a minute, I want to ask you, as Keith Marks, the person who participates in the outdoors, lives and breathes hunting and conservation throughout the great state of Wisconsin and through the United States, how important is this election? We've got a Supreme Court race coming up here where the balance of the court hangs in the balance. And I'm not sure those who utilize the waters and woods of this state always understand that how they're able to use those resources is not often determined by the legislators who make the laws. It's determined by how courts interpret those laws.
You are so correct, and you don't have to look very far in your distant past. Hunter Nation actually sued the state of Wisconsin Fish and Game Department to force them to do a wolf hunt. You know, your law said if the gray wolf is not on the endangered species list, they must set a hunting season, but your game and fish didn't do it. So Hunter Nation sued them, and we won in court.
That's right.
Think about this, Joel. If this issue gets up to your Supreme Court, and if wolf hunting or any hunting issues on the docket there, you're not going to win if the Janet Protasiewicz wins that. And tell hunters, think about this even bigger, right? You say, we'll get them the next election. Well, if she wins, they're going to redraw your boundaries up there in Wisconsin, and it will virtually be impossible for conservatives to win another election up there in Wisconsin. So here's what's on the ballot for hunters up there right now. Your gun rights, does that matter? You're darn right they do. Your hunting rights, does that matter? Sure. Soft on crime, Janet. Do you want safe streets and have your children safe? I would hope so. That's, you know, this is all on the ballot up there. And then this redistricting, I'll tell you, people don't realize how critical that is, Joel, but hunters need to get informed. And here's the good news. What we saw in
give me
West
the good
Conference,
news, Keith, please.
The last cycle, hunters voted in numbers that they hadn't voted before. And I can tell you right now, Joel, Hunter Nation, we're cranking up the machine. Uncle Ted, you're going to get him on here in a minute. We are actually going to try to reach out to every hunter in Wisconsin and make sure we remind them, hey, guys, you got a critical election coming up here April 4. You got to get out and vote your values.
And I'm telling you, when I talk to somebody, and I'm blown away when I talk to somebody and I say, hey, man, you all set? You're going to get ready? You're going to vote coming up on April 4th? And then they look deadpan in the face and say to me, there's an election. And I don't think the hair on my arm stands up, Keith, because people will get excited when the presidential ballot comes up. They'll get excited even for their local folks who are in the legislature who they know. And then we have elections in the springtime in Wisconsin that determine who is on the highest court in the state of Wisconsin. And so very often people do not realize the importance. If you like utilizing the outdoors of this great state, walking into the woods, taking a boat into the waters, carrying your concealed firearm for safety in the woods or even in your neighborhood, those things are literally at risk every time. And so not only is it frustrating to me when you have outdoors folks who say they're just not into politics, you don't need to be into politics to be into what you love to do for a living, to put meat on the table for your family, you have to be involved.
Yeah, you know, that is so 100%. I tell you, I was on social media before I left the airport in D.C., and I saw somebody post on there where Soft on Crime Janet had, I guess, participated in a little elder abuse, and they were talking about the whack that she gave the guy. And I'm telling you, hunters better pay attention, because if you think the whack she gave that old fella is significant, the whack she's going to give us and our lifestyle is going to be bigger than that.
So, Keith, Danielle here. So I am definitely one of those people that did not know about the election coming up. I was one of those people until about a month ago. I hate to admit it, but I am. And with Hunter Nation, that actually kept me informed. And I just really dug down deep into it. So with this, when you said that people are going to get into it next time, aren't they in there for 10 years?
Yeah.
So you're not going to remember 10 years. I don't remember what I did 10 years ago. Like, it's no clue. No clue. So it really is right now that we need to get into it. So what my question is for you, how do people get into it with Hunter Nation? Because I only see it through social media. Can we do it a different way?
Well, listen, here's the thing. Think about how the original founding fathers and the original patriots spread the news. It was word of mouth. It was in taverns and churches. and it was in farm fields. Mm-hmm. We as hunters, we as traditional God-fearing Christian Americans need to pass this word on to everyone in our circles, whether that's the bar room, the bowling alley, church, or wherever it might be. And you have to make sure everyone in your life knows this critical election is coming up. I encourage all your listeners, go to hunternation.org and huntthevote.org. Wisconsin is a state you can actually register to vote the day of the election, so it's never too late up there. You can go to huntthevote.org, figure out your closest polling place, get yourself registered, and pass the word along. Because if you don't realize how critical, I'm speaking directly to your hunters that are listening, I'll tell you how critical this race is. You are seeing more out-of-state money poured into this April 4th election from the other side than you've ever seen in a state Supreme Court election. That's how important this is to the left. They know they have a chance to fundamentally change Wisconsin's future for at least the next 10 years. And then when you realize the policies that get implemented during that 10 years for two or three generations, potentially, and we just can't let that happen up there.
Man, I'll tell you, you just hit that point on the head. You know, and Hunter Nation, one of the things they profess is to be a united voice for the American hunter. And what is absolutely difficult to swallow is that if hunters were a united voice, we can move the needle, Keith. We as a block can move the needle. We just have to participate. We just have to show up. We just have to have a passion for it. And if those of us who have this vivid instilled passion to get out into the waters and woods use just a portion of that passion to have a united voice to move the needle, the rights, the constitutionally given rights we have would be ensured in this state and every other one in the country. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, Joel, you're 100% correct. A couple things that I've seen across the country. A lot of people on the right, the conservative values, you know, they'll have a candidate in the primary, and if he or she doesn't win, and sometimes, as you know, Joel, the best candidate doesn't always prevail in the primary.
Just that's a fact. And then, I know that
and
all too well.
I know you do. And then people end up staying home, which is you just can't do it because look at the alternative. I point to my Pennsylvania friends that told me they set out the Senate race up there when their candidate didn't win the primary. And I say, well, thanks a lot, because the rest of this country is having to deal with a brain-dead human being that flipped the balance of power in the Senate because they were upset their handpicked guy or gal didn't win in the primary. And so, hunters, listen, our traditional values are on the block up there in Wisconsin. April 4th, you must find time, get out of the woods, get off the water, do whatever you've got to do, but you've got to go vote your traditional values and keep Wisconsin real Wisconsin.
Keith Mark, what a pleasure it's been to have you on the show. You are a hero to hunters and conservationists throughout the great country we live in. So appreciate you taking the time.
Yes, thank you, Keith,
for being an example and a mentor. And beyond that, you're just a hell of a guy. So thank you for coming on the show. Hey, can't wait to talk to you next time. And I sure hope we get to hunt some gators in Florida together.
You betcha. Tell Uncle Ted that Keith said that's too tough of an act for him to follow.
Oh, that's right, though.
It was fantastic. There he was, the head of Hunter Nation.
Keep up the good work up there, guys. You're doing God's work. Keep it up.
Thank you. We'll do our very
Thank
best.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Keith Mark, founder of Hunter Nation. And, you know, Danielle, I honestly think it takes a lot for you to come on and admit that to a guy who lives and breathes making sure hunters are involved.
My palms were definitely sweating. But, like, one thing I remember from looking up the past couple days is I'm terrified for my hunting rights and all that kind of stuff, but one quote that I saw from Janet just stuck in my head, that she'll put the thumb on the scale of justice for her personal preference. And I was like, oh, well, that's what stuck with me. If you look into this, you're going to understand what's going on. It only took me 2 days.
Everything's at risk. You got to participate in the process. When we come back, we've got Tim Zindel from the Wisconsin Game Preserve Association. Scott Getz is joining us, and Uncle Ted's interview's coming up. Woo! We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco.
Hey, you go up that ridge, now go down in the swamp.
Kids, they're just different than us.
They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at LLS.org.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter storm warning continues until 4 p.m. this afternoon. Snow likely this afternoon. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 38. Northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows level off around 25. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow. Highs level off around 43. 4 to 8 inches of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 30.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
Choice for News Talk Radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman. Danielle, what's happening?
I'm just jamming to this music right now.
Well, I don't think you can really go wrong when you start a radio show with a little Nuge.
Nuge.
He gets everybody pumped. You know, he was at Waukesha County Fair this last year, he'll come back again this year.
That'd be nice.
That'd be fun. I actually, they invited me to come on stage and introduce him, and I was somewhere else in the world hunting.
How could you miss such a thing like that,
I was
like
hunting
that,
somewhere, hunting, you know, hunting. Man, that first segment was very powerful. Mark, founder of Hunter Nation, one of the biggest voices for hunters in the country.
Yeah.
And it was just, he just got off a plane from D.C. to come talk to us. And what a small world hunting is. He was down a couple days ago hunting with my buddy Keith Parlier in Florida for Osceola turkeys. That's my gator guy down there.
I would love to get an Osceola. I feel like I have to do the Grand Slam this year.
In one year?
I mean, anything's
possible.
You're
going to get five different types of turkeys across this country in 1 year.
What else am I going to do besides work?
Oh, man, I got a million different hunting trips.
I need a goal in life right now.
In fact, one of the best hunting trips I ever take is with these guys sitting right next to you.
Oh.
I'm super excited to have them here as well because I saw you guys nodding quite a bit during the Keith Mark interview. I've got Tim Zindel, president of the Wisconsin Game Preserve Association, Scott Getzka, who's on the board of the WGPA and on the board of the Whitetails of Wisconsin. You guys are not only friends, but and this isn't just a matter of hunting rights to you. This life that we're in right now and the decisions that are made by government is not just a matter of you having a right to hunt and fish. This is your livelihood. You guys own family farms that very often are the very first places people experience hunting in their lives. They fall in love with the outdoor traditions of Wisconsin very often at your places. And tragically, we're seeing hunting numbers go down, and shows like this and people like me and folks like you and Danielle, we are trying to change that. And Keith Mark and Ted Nugent, who's going to be on the show later, we are trying to change that. You know, Tim Zindel, you have gone through the ringer.
The ringer.
You've gone through the ringer. You had avian influenza. You are continuing on. You're coming back. Your birds are absolutely stunning and beautiful, and your friends are strong in this business. What is it going to take for people in states like Wisconsin and across this country to understand the fundamental importance of what it means to be part of the ecosystem of bringing food from the field to the table.
There's just so much to it, especially being a third-generation farm. Our families, the heritage, I think of my grandpa when we're going through what we call it the bird flu, where he started it. And then my dad, now myself, is so-called the baton or the torch has been passed. That's a legacy issue. And to see the kids out hunting or different people involved in hunting, it's an incredible feeling. And how it keeps going and how it keeps being pushed forward, that's what God put us on this earth to do. And to get us through these dark days, like when we had it, when we dealt with our issues and that, it was faith and family. That's what got us through it. And you were a big part of it. You kept in touch. And Scott's been, you know, not only amazing friends. I mean, we've talked about everything. And also having him as an incredible, if you want to say, a customer. But I don't look at it that way. It's to see the people's lives that you touch is very humbling. And you see different people that hunt. You see young people getting involved, you know, with a gun for the first time or whatever. And it's very moving. And it's a pleasure to be part of it. Hopefully this baton keeps passing on and touching more people's lives and understanding what hunting's about. It's amazing.
I think that so many people, and, you know, I know Danielle shares this thought with me because we've talked about it before. When you don't have hunting or fishing utilization of the outdoors in your life, you are missing out on the greatest thing that this state has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen the look, Tim, on people's faces that first time they harvest a pheasant, the first time they learn a safe way to handle a firearm and that a firearm's a tool. I have had so many people who've never hunted a day in their life, and they have that first experience at a pheasant farm or a game preserve or in the field turkey hunting. That look on their face and the beating in their chest cannot be replicated any other way. Not drugs, not a telephone, not TikTok, not Instagram, not Facebook, not anything two-dimensional. Nothing connects the God Almighty to your experience on earth like that first time hunting does.
Yeah, I took my niece out hunting. I don't think I told you the story. I took my niece out hunting, bow hunting with me about 5-6 years ago. And just the sight of a deer coming towards us, she just started uncontrollably shaking, but with a huge smile.
Yeah.
Like it was just so much adrenaline, so much rush. I'm like, oh, this is absolutely freaking perfect. So beautiful. And I can't imagine seeing it. And you have hundreds of people you influence a week, a month.
It is like, amazing.
I can't imagine that.
It's absolutely amazing that way. And you can't, like you say, you can't replicate it when a young person or somebody that's really anti, if you want to say anti-hunting, and they have this real bit attitude, real, I'm going to be upset. I'm not going to like this. But all of a sudden they get, if you want to say, they drink the Kool-Aid. And they're part of that experience. And you can't, to see that transformation is awesome.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is an amazing thing.
And plus to see them prepare the birds too afterwards eat it. They're like, oh, this
you know
is
that
pheasant.
I love the eating part just as much as the hunting part.
Weird.
If... We got to take a break here pretty quick, but if this disappears off the landscape, if it is gone, we will have forever lost one of the greatest reasons to live in this free country and live in this wonderful state of Wisconsin. Mm. When we come back, we're going to talk to Getzka. I know, Getzka, you guys were joking around before the show so much that she had to warn us we were going on Facebook Live. You're going to meet Scott Getzka when we come back. What a fantastic show. Don't forget, Ted Nugent is coming up. You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. One person was pulled alive from the rubble of the chocolate factory that was the scene of an explosion in Pennsylvania Friday night.
The discovery of life overnight of the overnight recovery efforts provides hope that others still may be found.
West Reading Police Chief Wayne Holbin did not provide an update on that person's condition, but he says two people are confirmed dead and five are still missing. He said earlier reports that five are confirmed dead were incorrect. Cause of the explosions under investigation. In western Mississippi, at least 23 people were killed by powerful tornadoes overnight, and state emergency officials say those numbers are expected to increase. There was widespread destruction in Sharkey County.
The house is gone. I guess it threw them through the wall or whatever. It's rough.
President Biden said the U.S. is not seeking conflict with Iran, but would defend Americans, confirming he ordered airstrikes on Iranian-backed militants in Syria in retaliation for a drone strike on a U.S. base that killed an American contractor. This is ABC News.
Oh my gosh, it's more fun than a big block of Colby or cheddar. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. For the first time in 45 years, there won't be a Briggs & Al's Run & Walk in downtown Milwaukee. The event dates back to legendary Marquette University basketball coach Al McGuire. The Children's Wisconsin Foundation is looking for feedback on how to create new and more inclusive events that could replace the run down the road. Participation has been on the decline in recent years. In 2019, there were 10,000 participants. Last year, after being canceled for 2 years because of the pandemic, participation down 8,000. Over its 45-year run, the event has raised $22 million. A cyber attack launched this week against the Wisconsin court system's computer network. Court officials say users may have experienced spotty service or slower than normal response times. If you're having difficulties filing documents electronically, contact the clerk of court in your respective county. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Dear Hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
ESA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Ted Nugent, it's a free-for-all. It's a free-for-all in the fishbowl. You're listening to Raised in Wisco, 217 Wisconsin Avenue. Stop by. Wave to us.
Hello.
Say hello.
Yeah.
We're in the fishbowl in downtown Waukesha. You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. What an awesome show so far. I mean, the hair on my arms is standing up.
This is definitely one of our better shows. And don't forget to call
they're
in.
They're all great. What are you talking about?
Better.
They're all awesome.
I didn't say they were not awesome.
This is a great
I said
show,
better.
Though.
It's a good, great, grand,
we
wonderful.
Got the president of the Wisconsin Game Preserve Association, Tim Zindel, took us into the break talking about the fundamental beauty awesomeness, greatness of bringing people into the world of hunting, what that does for them, what that does for their lives. Scott Getzka is with us today, too. Getzka, man, are you looking for trouble? You are in two industries that the antis just try to attack, and I'm telling you, you're a hero because you are introducing people to deer hunting in the state of Wisconsin, to pheasant hunting, quail, chucker. You run Sporting Clays, which is the fastest growing high school sport in the country. Kids are going to college for free now. They're getting into the Olympics because of their firearm skills that are at the schools. I mean, you are in the thick of it. Your life is literally devoted to making sure that this lifestyle and this fundamental way of living continues.
Well, I appreciate that, Joel. That's kind of a big send off welcome, I should say. But our farm is up in central Wisconsin, up by Warrens, and it's fourth generation, like Tim was talking about, and three generations in the hunting preserve business. And we've been hunting pheasants and chuckers, and we started our Sporting Clays range back in 1992. And I like to think the neat thing about hunting preserves is when you get to a hunting club or hunting preserve, like we do hunter safety by us, we do with hunts with disabled veterans by us. We do Sporting Clays ranges. We're heavily involved in the SCTP, which is the high school shooting programs. And there is, like Tim said, there's nothing more rewarding to be able to take your land and transfer it from a dairy farm in the early 70s into hunting cover, into prairie grasses, big blue stem, switch grasses, things like that, along with planting the food plots and all the different farms we have. It not only benefits the birds we're releasing for hunting, but it also benefits a lot of other things. They talk about green space, they talk about erosion, they talk about all that type of things that the hunting preserves do by accident.
Why does that get lost when people are critical? Why does what you guys do for the actual landscape get lost in the mix when we're trying to make a greener world? How come that gets lost in the criticism?
Because that's a positive point. They never attack the positive points. They attack the negative
that's
points.
That's a fact.
Very
you know, you are hunting animals, but the only way you can eat pheasant is to harvest it first. The only way you can eat venison is to harvest it first.
That's a fact.
And that's what they key on is the killing of the animal. Well, that's how you eat meat, is you have to harvest it. So that's why they don't key on the positive things. And I can tell you we had a hunt last fall where we had a disabled veteran out that was able to run with some Britneys that his sons hadn't shot a pheasant in several years. And he was on the front of this Kubota we have with a seat on it that they can go right along with the hunt. The dogs went on point, and he was able to shoot a bird, and the guy turned, and he had tears running down his face.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we do this. With the high school shooting programs, when you get those young shooters out there, and they break their first targets, and they turn around, and they got a smile on their face that you can't beat off with a 2x4. That's why we do this. There's so many positive aspects to the shooting and hunting world that is missed when they try to attack us on the negative side.
You know, I've said this before. Not every kid in high school is going to be a starting quarterback on the football team. Not every kid's going to be a sweeper on the soccer team, or not every kid's 6'5" and going to be a fantastic basketball player. But some of those kids who feel like maybe they didn't have a place to fit in before are finding sport shooting, and they're good at it. And it takes hand-eye coordination. And all of a sudden, we have created a place of, and I don't want to get soft here. I'm not trying to be squishy. But we've created a place where they're accepted because they're good at that. And they might not be good at being in the plays or singing or playing basketball.
Well, it doesn't matter what shape or size you're in, who you are, you can shoot a gun safely at Sporting Clays. Like you said, if you have eyes, you can shoot a gun. Like, it doesn't really matter, so that's kind of perfect that you have kids out there doing that to help them fit in with everybody else.
And that's correct. I mean, last year there was over 6,000 kids in Wisconsin participating in some kind of high school or school shooting, we don't use that word. School sport shooting.
There you
school
go.
And, you know, it's just incredible the growth in that. And we are providing a positive voting block down the road, whether they hunt a pheasant or continue in their shooting program. They will remember the fun they had at the shooting range or at the gun club or at the hunting preserve. So in the future, that's a positive voting block for us as we move down the road.
I want to bring up kind of a tough tough topic, just a tough question, and get your take on it. Right now, for very, very good reason, we don't allow any firearms on school grounds. I think everybody gets that. Whether mm-hmm. you're in the sporting industry or not, I understand why we have solid no-tolerance rules for firearms on school grounds. However, and don't jump down my throat on this if you're listening, but the reality of it is some of these kids who are participating in the shooting sports with their shotgun, they're not allowed to have that shotgun in a locked case in the trunk of their car when they are at school. Now, there are people who may disagree with me, but if that is found in their locked car, we've had cases of kids who are on the sports shooting team and forgotten they were at practice the day before, and they have their gun in a locked case in the trunk of the car, and someone tells on them, or they say, oh, I forgot it. They tell a teacher. And because of those laws that are no tolerance, all of a sudden you got a really good kid, maybe a straight A kid who's expelled from school. I think we need to take a look at those laws, because I think there has to be some give and take on intention.
Well, if they would apply the common sense rule to that, I know.
Now, common sense, you do again, understand what you just said right there. Tim's laughing right now because we just use the word common sense when it comes to applying laws.
We had the first year we started our team up. Our principal gave us the perfect example. Make sure that your shooters, when they do not bring a gun to school in a case in the back of their trunk like you're talking about, because there was a young man, a senior, was out turkey hunting, came to school after turkey hunting early in the morning, had his gun, decoys, everything else. Gun was locked up, no shells or nothing, and ended up getting suspended, not because of the principal, but because a teacher's aide had seen it and called the police, and they had to follow the law and suspend him for the remainder part of his, spring senior year, so he couldn't graduate his class, just for the simple reason.
I bet that broke his heart.
And it broke the principal's heart, too. But, again, if they'd apply common sense to that, maybe we could work on something like that in the future.
And when you talk about stuff like that, these very cases are going to be the cases that end up in the Supreme Court and are going to be decided. And again, making sure that the folks out there who listen to this show and participate in the outdoors in any way, or even if you're just a fan, even if you watch the stuff on television, or you like eating wild game, these are the things that are going to affect you. Or you have kids in school. These are the things that are going to be affected down the road. Tim Zindel, what is it like to you? What does the future look like to you? What does the future of Wisconsin, the future of hunting, the future of conservation look like to you?
We always got to be the glass is half full mentality. There's a wonderful future, and like when Scott was talking about all the kids that got involved in the trap shooting and that in high school, they're not doing drugs. They're not committing right. some other crime. You're keeping these kids active.
And I bet you when they meet you, they shake your hand and look at you in the eyes.
And they say thank you, and they're polite. And that's what gets lost. Everybody's talking about the guns and whatever, but you're keeping them off the streets. You're keeping them off of shenanigans. You know, let's try a different outlook on this. And I don't know. Hunting is just a wonderful, wonderful thing that we hopefully years down the road just keeps getting bigger and bigger. We're going to hit times like this where it goes down. You're going to have times where it goes up. But the things that like Scott's club is advocating is amazing. You're getting more people involved with trap shooting in high schools and things like that. I mean, that's incredible.
So,
and it's accepted by the high school.
When did the trap shooting start in high school? Because when I was in high school, I graduated in 2006. Like, I don't remember anything about being trap shooting. Also in 2006, I was not into hunting and fishing, so I really didn't look into it. But just this seems new to me.
Yeah, and I think that's a great question, because I want to know what we need to do to get people to know it's out there and an option for them.
Yeah, because I'm not going to promote guns in school. Are they going to promote this? Do they promote
I don't know. Getzka, you'd know the answer to this. What's the best way to start making sure that people who might be interested in this actually know about it?
Well, the SCTP, which is what I always call the WIA of our shooting sports in Wisconsin, is a national organization. If you looked up the SCTP website, and they talk about how to build a team, how to start a team. Me and five other advisors of the state have gone to countless schools and talked to them about the shooting programs that are out there so that they could start one up. And honestly, all the schools I've gone to in western Wisconsin was probably a dozen, 15 now. The school boards are mainly concerned with two things: what's it going to cost and who's liable. And like our team is mainly supported by sponsors along their team fees. Liability is carried by the SCTP. It covers the schools, the coaches, the kids, and the gun ranges. It's a great program. That's where they would want to go to start to look. But there's a lot of schools in the state. Last year, our state trap shoot in Rome, Wisconsin, at the WTA home grounds, had just over 2,000 kids shot.
Wow.
We hosted the state sporting clay shoot by us. We had just under 500, and the state skeet shoot was the Sock Gun Club that had around 300. I always like to say they shot about 280,000 rounds of ammunition between those three state shoots, and not one kid was injured, one kid was hurt. I don't think we had a concussion or even a pulled hamstring.
Oh, jeez.
I guarantee you, if you compared high school sports, basketball, baseball, football, cheerleading, you name it, you're going to have a laundry list of injuries and some serious injuries compared to the shooting sports. It's just like when people talk about, man, did we have a tough time getting the mentored hunting program in place in Wisconsin? Well, injuries in the mentored hunting program are substantially lower than injuries among regular people with hunter safety who buy a license. I guarantee it's a smaller number.
And that's what the hunting preserves do, along with the shooting sports. I mean, there's nothing more fun than to watch a person bring out their dog for the first time, can get them on birds, get them going before they go out west or whatever,
yep.
And to have that young person along with their dad and their buddy, Ralph the Springer, turns around, pops a bird up near, shoots it, brings it back. There's nothing more exciting than that. I run dogs my whole life, whether it be hounds or pointers. There's just nothing more enjoyable to run those dogs and hunt with them, because the dogs get into it more than we do.
Well, this is very true. With Bandit, that's one of the reasons, well, not one of the many reasons why I continued hunting, because seeing that dog chase after a bird is the greatest thing ever, especially when it's unfortunately winged and he just chases it in a circle. But we learned for the whole gun shy with dogs, when he was a pup, we brought him to a pheasant farm. They're like, hey, can I let my dog walk around just to sniff the birds and hear the gunshots and everything? I went to two of them and they were like, yeah, absolutely. So it's not just to go there and shoot, but it's go there to train your dogs. Like, you guys are great with dogs. Even if we're not hunting, you're like, yeah, come here, come help, which is perfect. Yep. And Bandit heard me say his name, so he came right in here, of course.
Yeah, I have a lot more respect for dogs than do a lot of people I know.
Yeah. Why do you think he's with me all the time?
Man, that's awesome. Guys, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys coming here and talking to us about the fundamental joys of hunting and starting out. And it's because of the two of you that many people get an opportunity to do that. When we come back on Raised in Wisco, you got to stick around. Not only is this a segment that leads into Charlie Barron's show, but we have Ted the Sledge Nugent, the godfather of hunting, on with us on Raised in Wisco, coming up right after the break. You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. We'll be right back.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us.
Support the Dare to Dream project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter storm warning continues until 4 p.m. this afternoon. Snow likely this afternoon. Otherwise, mainly cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 38. Northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows level off around 25. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow. Highs level off around 43. 4 to 8 inches of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 30.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
Progressive Talk, from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
This excited about Raised in Wisco. You folks have heard me talk in the past about the fact that I get to do cooking segments for the provider that go on Ted and Shemaine Nugent's show, The Spirit of the Wild, and that is probably one of the most exciting things I've ever done in my life as far as TV goes. And it's just fantastic taking food from the field to the table. And today, we have got one of the most exciting guests on Raised in Wisco that we ever had. The man, the myth, the legend, Ted Nugent is joining us Woo-hoo. Today. The Godfather, Ted Nugent. God, what a blessing it is to have you on the show, and what an exciting opportunity for us to have you here. Thanks for joining us, Uncle Ted.
Thank you, Uncle Ted.
My pleasure. Well, happy, happy springtime to my blood brothers and all those great conservative conservation families in the wilds of the Badger State and the Dairy State. Rebecca, Joel, I love you people so much. You know that, don't you?
Oh, God bless you for saying it. And we love everything you do to make sure that we can continue to live free in the state of Wisconsin.
You know, Wisconsin is such a powerful historical force of conservation, of hunting, fishing, trapping, keeping wildlife in the asset column. So these really are very trying times, because the evil forces of the government would like to put wildlife ability column instead of the asset column. And nothing says that more painfully than the mismanagement of the wonderful wolf. So thank you for fighting this good fight in Wisconsin to make a difference by voting in the upcoming Supreme Court to vote right now. And the early voting starts right now. And if you vote for Dan Kelly up there in Wisconsin, then your hunting heritage, your freedom, your right, your stewardship as biblically decreed by God himself can continue in the great hunting state of Wisconsin. So thank you for letting me to raise hell for this very, very important issue.
I think maybe sometimes those of us who are out there, and we got 600,000 hunters in the state of Wisconsin head out for the gun deer season every year. I mean, we literally have an army of people, and sometimes that army doesn't understand how important it is that the people in the capitals of this state and the capitals across this country govern how they get to use the woods and waters.
You know, and the tradition has always been based on the irrefutable and well-documented sound science of sustained yield. You stop and think, those wildlife creatures that we get to hunt and eat are in the healthiest, most thriving condition they have ever been. There's more deer in North America than ever in recorded history. In fact, Joel, there's more deer in my freezer than ever recorded in American history. There's more cougar. There's more black bear. There's more turkey, more geese than ever in recorded history. There's more bison and elk and moose. And pronghorn antelope than there's been in over 100 years, because wildlife, when it's valued and people see the respect that we have instinctually for a healthy environment, the healthy habitat that our management of these resources creates, this is a great celebration.
Man, what an awesome, awesome interview that was with Ted Nugent. He was gracious enough to come talk to us. And here's the beauty of it, folks. Next week, Danielle Fairman's going to be hosting the show. I will be in Texas hunting Nilgai, very close to Ted Nugent.
Very close.
And I'm pretty excited about that. And I'm pretty excited because Danielle's going to have more of the Ted Nugent interview. Guys, what did you think? Getzka, what did you think of what Ted had to say?
I think he pretty much nailed it.
I think it's exactly what we've been talking about when we say that the folks in the state of Wisconsin have to become activated and have to become part of the process. Too often, too many people who are utilizing the outdoors of Wisconsin think that what they say and what they think doesn't matter. And the fact of the matter is, it really does.
It really does. And again, I'm going to say it over and over. I was that person. I didn't want to get into politics. I didn't want to know about any of this stuff. But the more we talk about it, the more I'm talking about it to other people on the job site, at the bar, wherever I go. Like, I'm talking about it more. So hopefully the show is getting it to more people. And hopefully with you guys have a huge following. You're going to have people talking about this at
Do people come into the club and talk about it? Do people come into the club and just want it? Part of the issue is that we associate hunting with joy and relaxation, I think.
Yes.
And I think sometimes when people associate with relaxation, they don't want to have to think about the hard things. Do you see that with folks who come into the club?
Yes, but politics is always part of the conversation.
Is
and
it?
The sad part is in today's world, we can't seem to talk about it without getting offended and arguments and everything else. And we do talk about it a lot in the clubhouse because obviously we are a small business that hunts and shoots things for a living. So that's where we're more on the conservative side, but we do have more liberal people come out hunting by us too. And we talk about it and discuss it. And if it starts to get a little heated, then I calm it down real quick. But you have to have an open dialogue. As soon as you determine that your opinion is the only one, the right one, then you lose the game. You got to be able to listen to both sides and then figure out something in between. But that is the toughest part about our sport is we should stand up and be proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
If people want to attack you, stand up and be proud of what you do. You enjoy the outdoors. You enjoy hunting. You enjoy harvesting animals. And that excitement you get when that flock of geese comes into the decoys or that whitetail buck comes down the trail and is stopping and is winding you and so forth, and your heart is pounding outside your chest. That excitement we should not ever be ashamed of. And it's just with the kids and so forth, it reminded me of a saying that said, you're better off to hunt with your kids than hunt for them. Yep. I always thought my grandpa told me that many eons ago, and I thought
nice.
That's a pretty cool saying. And that's where we have to be, is hunt with them, enjoy the time with them because they grow up too fast, and be willing to talk to other people. If they don't agree with you face-to-face or agree with your ideals, you should still be able to have a discussion with it, because if you talk to them in a rational and be proud of what you do, maybe they will understand and not be so much opposed to it.
I really like what you said, be proud of what you do. And that includes all aspects, which is politics.
Yeah, it is. I think it boils down to this. And I think that is one of the reasons we should be so happy we've got spokespeople like Ted Nugent,
mm-hmm.
who's not afraid to say what he says, because he truly believes it could be taken away from him, and he's not going to sit idly by when it does. And the bottom line is, the only difference out there, if you're vegetarian, that's one thing. But if you eat McDonald's, if you go to the store and you buy meat, meat that is raised on a farm is raised to be killed, to be eaten, and I have no problem with that. But it takes an even higher understanding to pursue that game yourself, to put it on the table. And that is the bottom line. If you have no problem buying it from the store or eating at McDonald's, you certainly should have no problem pursuing it yourself. Tim Zindel, thank you for joining us. Scott Getzka.
Yes, thank you.
Danielle Fairman, what a show.
Joel
Uncle
Clayfish.
Ted.
Absolutely.
You're going to have him on the show next week. We'll see you soon on Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish for Danielle Fairman. We'll see you next time.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.